See, there it is. Thumbs up. We are ready. Praise God. We are in 1 Peter again tonight. Boy, I'm telling you, I've been going through Peter over and over and over and over again these last couple weeks. You talk about power. This man right here, he has got the power of Jesus Christ in him. He was one of the apostles, one of the closest of the close of the apostles. He was in Jesus's inner sect part, in the middle of it all. Him and John and James, they were tight with Jesus. He went with Jesus to the Mount of Transfiguration. He was there. He always opened his mouth. I love Peter. Boy, he didn't let nothing hold him back. He never showed forth fear. He always showed forth power and grace until that day, you know, where he denied the Lord and he was ashamed for a bit. But God brought him back. Amen. God brought him back. And then he, as Jesus told him, he said, go and feed my sheep. Go and feed my lambs. Go and feed my sheep. Peter, you got to go and teach people about the love and the power and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, Peter, what a man he was. He was just like us. That's what I like about him. He was a regular, hard-working, callous hands fisherman. You know, nothing special about him except he had been with Jesus. In fact, there's a place in Acts where Peter and John were going to the temple. I wasn't even thinking about talking about this. But they were going to the temple and they were asked by the Sadducees and the Pharisees there. And they said, we know that you're unlearned men. You don't know where to put all those silent letters and stuff in the alphabet. Oh, but I can tell you've been with Jesus. Amen. Education ain't what it's meant up to be. You know, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, I had a young girl today. She must be a Christian. She said, after we had finished teaching at the Good News Club, the last group of kids that came through, and she said, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, praise God, I must be. If you can tell it, I must be, you know. And it's not because we speak fancy words or nothing like that, but you can tell the body of Christ knows when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And even at this, we have finished chapter 1 and we're rolling into chapter 2. And I love it when a chapter starts with something like wherefore. Before I get into wherefore, what's wherefore, therefore, let's go to the Lord in prayer for His grace. Amen. Father, thank You so much for Your goodness. Thank You so much for Your power. Thank You so much for Your anointing. Lord, I pray even now that Your people that are here, that are within the sound of this voice, Father, that they would hear the call and the unctioning of the Holy Spirit, that You would draw them in closer, draw us closer to You, Father. Shelter us, bind us up in love. And Lord, we want to praise You and thank You for that. Father, we come before You even now that I would decrease and Your word would evermore increase. Father, that the power of the gospel would go out from this pulpit to everyone who has an ear. Let them hear what the Spirit says to the church. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So in chapter 2 and verse 1, it starts out with wherefore. And as I was thinking about this, and I've heard it said before, this is not original to me. It says, when you see wherefore, you got to see why wherefore is therefore. What is it there for? Why did he say wherefore? Because it's everything that was laid out before that wherefore came. Amen. Everything that he had said up to this point, he said, wherefore? So if we back up just a couple verses there, back to 18, we could redo chapter 1 again because that's what it's where for. That's why it's there for. And so, but starting in chapter 1 and verse 18 and moving forward from that, he says, for as much you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold or from the vain conversation, or you have received, or something that you received from tradition of your fathers. That's what the wherefore is there, because you were not redeemed with corruptible things. That's what the wherefore is there for. And he says again, but you were redeemed. You were brought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was out without spot. That's what it's there for, because you're not redeemed by corruptible things. You were redeemed by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. You were brought close to Him because He cares for you so much. And it says in verse 20, for you, verily was foreordained ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. That's Jesus Christ. It was before the foundation of the world He was laid out for you. Before the foundation of the world was set, before the cornerstone of the world was set, the cross was set before God. And He knew that we needed a Redeemer. He knew we needed somebody perfect and without sin to die for my ungodliness. Praise God for Him. And He was set out for the foundation. That's what wherefore is there for. And He says in verse 21, Him who do believe in God that raised up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and your hope might be found in God. Amen? That your faith, what you believe in, is found in God through Jesus Christ. That's what it's there for. Seeing that you have purified your souls by obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned. Thank you. I could not say the word. I was looking at it, and a thousand words came across my mind, but that was not one of them. The unfeigned love of the brethren. In other words, without hypocrisy. Loving the brethren the way that we're supposed to, with no false thoughts or ideas. Coming with a pure heart, I'm an uneducated man. I can't say those words tonight. But being 23, born again. Amen? The wherefore is because you've been born again. You have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have been born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abides forever. That's what the wherefore is there for, that you can know that you are in Christ Jesus. If you have trusted Him, if you've been born again through Him, if you put your faith in Him, you know that you have something concrete that you can hold on to. Amen? It is the power of God that saves us. He tells us, He brings it back to the an Old Testament saying or a proverb here, for all flesh is like grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass, and the grass withers, and the flower of there fades away. But the Word of God endures forever. Amen. That's what it's there for. What we're going to look at next is because of what He has just said, that we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, that we have a standing with God, that the Word of God will never fail. He will never, ever, ever fail. He has set things before the foundation of the world. He set things into motion, and your salvation was one of those things. He has set that out. He has set out the cross of Jesus Christ. And you can trust in Jesus' blood, His power, His resurrection, what He did for you. Oh, wherefore is there? Now that we know where we were, what has happened, how we have been brought out of darkness into the light, He says we need to lay aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envy, and evil speaking. Amen? When He says that He has raised us up, He has repented. I went that far without looking at my notes. I got to flip pages. Be right with you. Praise God. And so here we are still in verse 1. We need to cast off. That means to lay aside, to stop. Stop with our way of thinking and start with thinking ourselves as born again. That we need to lay aside every weight. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the latter part of that. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us. Let us run the race that is set before us. Amen. Why is this wherefore there? It's telling us that we got something to do. We've got to persevere. We've got to run this race. It tells us again in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verses 24 and 25. We know that they which run a race run with everything they have. They run with their all. Amen. If you've ever been in a race or in any kind of sporting event, you don't halfway try. Right? If you go out there, if you're in gymnastics, you give it your best shot until your muscles are ripping out of your socket. If you're running a race, you're running it so hard that when you get a cramp, you push forward. You run through the pain. You continually to persevere. You overcome the obstacle. He tells us that we're running the race. We run with it our all. But only one receives the prize, right? Only the one who finishes the race. That's the one that will receive the prize. So that you run, that you may obtain. You need to run the race of your faith that you might obtain the glory that will come. You need to persevere. You need to press on. You need to hold on to the truth of the Word of God that you might obtain it. Amen. That you might obtain what you're having, that you're holding on for. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate. That means he's in self-control of all things. Now, they, that means the world, do not obtain a do obtain a corruptible crown, but we're gonna have an incorruptible crown. Amen. We got to remember that we have a promise from God that there is an incorruptible crown that fades not away. We have a promise through the Holy Spirit, through our faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross, that we need to run the race with endurance, pushing through the hard times, dying to our own sin, dying to ourselves, and holding on to what God has done for us, that we can obtain the crown that will not perish. There is a crown that perishes not. There's a crown that does not fade away. But if you were in the Roman times and you were running for a crown, you would get a little wreath that would go around your head, and after a week or so, it's going to die. Or how many here were in sporting events and you got trophies in the shelf? Right? Does that really matter today? Do they remember you for anything that you did when you were in high school? If so, grow up. Amen. That fades away. That glory fades away. Somebody else comes up and they break your record. Well, there's something that God has for us. It is the salvation of our souls that fadeth not away. We need to lay aside every weight that would stop us from getting there. We need to lay aside every bit of malice and filth and guile and hypocrisy. Put all of that away from us. Amen. Colossians 3 and verse 8. You also put off all of these things. Put all these things away from you, starting with anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication. Put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created you. So as you put off those things, what are you supposed to do? Put on Christ. Put on Christ. Put on Jesus Christ. Put on the Spirit of God. Learn what Jesus... I heard it said today in the Good News Club. What would Jesus do? Well, all right. What did He do? He persevered. When people hated Him, He stood up stronger. When people said that He was not God, He stood up and proclaimed that I am the One. I am God. I am God manifested in flesh, and I came to seek and save that which was lost. You hold on to the righteousness of God, regardless of who doesn't like you because of it. Amen. Wherefore, what's it there for? Wherefore is there to give us hope for a new day. Wherefore is there to give us a firm standing in Jesus Christ. You got to know that you're born again. If you're not born again, today is the day of salvation for you. You don't have time to wait for tomorrow. You need to make up your mind today. And if you are born again and you're living in a backslidden state, check your salvation. You need to come back and you need to come to Christ and you need to repent. Repent and be saved. Repent. Turn away from the ugliness of your old life and hold on to the righteousness of God. Because there is a day of reckoning coming, people, and we need to be prepared for it. That's what the wherefore is there for. That's why He put it there in that particular place. He tells us in the next verse that as newborn babes, they desire the sincere milk of the Word that you might grow thereby. The sincere milk of the Word. We have a new grandbaby. And you know what? Every 2 hours, that little squirt needs to be fed. Every 2 hours, it is up. Feed me now. I don't care if you're sleeping. I don't care what's going on in your world. My world is important. Let me scream until I get your attention. Amen. Anybody ever had a newborn? All right. You understand where I'm coming from. Let me ask you, you know how that newborn gets the parents' attention? By hollering out. When you're not reading the Word of God, what are you doing? Are you hungering? As a newborn babe, like that newborn babe desires the milk of the mother, like that newborn babe needs that nourishment, that those vitamins, do you really want the Word of God? Every 2 hours. Every 2 hours. Every 2 hours, don't you? I'm noticing this more and more in my life. If I do more than 2 hours without reading this, I get a hankering for something. I get the munchies. Amen. I gotta eat something. I gotta get something in me that's more than what I have in me from the world. I need to come back to the Word of God. I gotta open up a Psalm. I need to open up a Proverb. I need to open up a Gospel. I need to open up to find out what God did in Acts. I need to see what He did to the Corinthian church and to the church at Ephesus, to the church at Thyatira, to what He did for Timothy and what He did for Titus, what He did in the Revelation. I need to know what He did in Deuteronomy. I need to know what God did to His people, for His people, and through His people. And the only way I can know that is go to the wherefore, amen? Go to the wherefore and find out what it's there for so I can set my life in the middle of Christ. Are you hungering? Are you thirsting after righteousness today? Do you want the Word of God more than you want anything else? I tell you, if you were hungering after the Word of God like a newborn babe, every 2 hours you would be screaming out, "Feed me, God! Feed me! I need something from you." Is that happening in your life? If it ain't, something ain't right. Amen? Because we are all children in the eyes of the Lord. I figured it out the other night. I had been born again for 35 years. Okay? Now, I have been hungering after the Lord for about 16. Amen? So I don't want you to think that I started starving after the Word of the Lord. I was a slow beginner, all right? I said the prayer and, you know, I believed in Jesus Christ, but there came a turning point where I actually surrendered to Christ. And all of a sudden, God made this desire. It's a desire for His Word. I want His Word more than I want anything that this world can give me. You know, I want His Word more than anything of the world that this world can give. I would rather have Jesus than houses or fame. I'd rather be led by His holy name. I would rather have Him. I would rather have the Word of God than anything this world has to offer me. Amen? And that's, I hunger for that. I hunger for that. I want His Word so bad that I am willing to do without food. I want His Word so bad that I'm willing to do without beverages. I want His Word so much that I'm willing to do whatever it takes to receive it. That means I don't watch John Wayne anymore. Amen? Nothing wrong with watching John Wayne occasionally, but I said I can't do it occasionally. I got to do away with John Wayne because I would rather have the Word of God. I desire His Word in me every moment of every day. Church, if you don't, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And you know why I'm telling you that? Because when I did it, when I did not want it as bad as I want it today, something was wrong in me. All right. I was hiding sin, playing church. Amen. I wasn't doing what God had truly called me to do. And I was covering up my guilty little stuff in the corner, in the backside of my closet, my heart. And I was just taking that stuff and packing it back there. But that would make me feel guilty to want the Word of God. I would say I want to open the Word of God. But then that guilty stuff would come before me and say, "Well, you know what you did, right? You can't really be wanting the Word of God because you know what you did." That's my flesh talking. And I had to conquer my flesh. I had to crucify my flesh. I had to confess that to Jesus Christ. I had to get over that and come back to the very, very foundation of who Jesus is. And He created me a hunger and thirst for His righteousness. Inside of me, inside of Curtis Fitz, I acted like it, but I really did not want it. And how do I know I did not want it? I was not hungering and thirsting after it. But something happened when I truly confessed. When I opened it up, the blackness, the goo, the mud of my junky heart, and I poured it out before the Lord in front of His cross, and I said, "God, I am unworthy of Your glory." And He did something. Isn't that great? He did something. He said, "I know. I've been waiting for you to come to that understanding. I know who you were way back then. While you were yet a sinner, I died for you. While you were still lost in your unrighteousness, I loved you in the middle of that. I was just waiting for you to wake up. Now that you're awake, now that you've passed through the birth canal and you are born again, let me give you this hunger. let me give you this desire to know me. Oh, when you get that desire, it I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but it becomes a gnawing at you. If you don't get the Word of God, it gnaws at you. And it makes you, it just, you're uncomfortable if you don't get it. Amen? Just like those babies who don't get food every 2 hours, they're uncomfortable if they don't get it. Oh, church, if we would just wake up and just get that, start really desiring it, ask God that you would really want it, that you would desire the Word of God. And guess what? He'll give it to you. And when you get the desire of the Word of God, guess what's going to happen next? You are going to grow. You're going to grow in your mind. You're going to grow in your spirit. You're going to grow in your walk. You're going to grow in your testimony. You're going to grow in your witness. You all of a sudden will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because you know it has the power. It is the power of God to change people, to bring them up from the depths, and to make them sit at the right hand of the Father. It is the power of God to draw you away from yourself and into His righteousness, into His light. Alright, it is the power of God that draws you away from your darkness and into His glorious glow. That's what it's all about. Coming to God with an openness, with a willingness to die, that He could lift you up. Humble yourselves before the throne. Humble yourselves before God. And then He will lift you up. He will lift you up. If you humble yourself, you confess your sin, you admit to Him that you have things that you are not right with Him. Confess it. Come out of it. He calls over and over and over through the Word of God. Over and over. Come out from sin. Come out from Babylon. Come out from the world system. Come to me, all who hunger and thirst for righteousness. How many? All. That includes you, brother, sister. Come out. You've got to want the Lord more than you want your soap opera. Amen. You've got to want His relationship with Him more than you want Sesame Street. Amen? Oh, no, don't take Bert and Ernie. No, seriously, you've got to love God more. You've got to love Him more. More than what? More than everything else. Oh, when you do, God will create a hunger and thirst in you. And not only will He create a hunger and thirst in you, a desire for the sincere milk of the Word, that you might grow thereby, He will grant you your desires. He'll give it to you. If you start seeking Him with the fullness of your heart, guess what you're going to find? The fullness of Christ Jesus in your heart. He wants you to know Him. He says, If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If you've been born again, how many here have tasted the graciousness of God? Amen. Do you want some more of it? Amen. And like that newborn baby, wow, I tasted that milk. Boy, it's good stuff. I want some more of it. My dog eating food. You give it a little bit of food, it wants more of it. My dog's so crazy. You put too much food in its bowl, it doesn't stop. Amen. It eats and then it barks at the bowl. Roof, roof, I'm full. Eats it again, you know. And so, why can't we have that? You know, the only thing that's stopping you in a relationship with God like that is you. It's you. You're the only one who's stopping that hunger and thirst from rising up in you. It's you. If you really, really want it, you'll go out and get it. Amen? If I love my wife to pieces, right? And if she woke up in the middle of the night on a snowy winter's night and she said, she said yogurt, frozen yogurt stuff. Where's it come from? I don't even know. Someplace in Rochester, they make this crude stuff. I don't know what it's called. Frozen yogurt's what it's called, but it's Abbott. All right. And she makes, and she would, if she asked me in the middle of the night to go get her some, as much as I love her, I would go get it. Because she's hungering and she's thirsting for it. Maybe. truth came out, yeah. Maybe. Actually, I think if she would want that, and I'd say I'd get up and get it, and then she'd, out of her graceful heart, she'd say, no, I'll do without. And she'd get it tomorrow when she went into town. And so, but if you really want to be filled, you can be filled. If you really desire Jesus Christ, you're going to get Jesus Christ. If you really want to walk with God, guess what? He'll let you walk with Him. All you've got to do is lay aside a couple things. All you've got to do is put out of your life malice. All you've got to do is lay aside the guile that's in your life, the hypocrisies, the faking Christianity. Lay that aside. Confess it that you ain't what you think you are. And let God make you who you really are. And then a desire is going to come up for you. And my heart's desire is that you guys would desire Jesus Christ. I want to desire Him more. I really do. But I want y'all to desire Him as much as I do. More than I do. Amen. What I would love to see is this body of Christ become a praying body of Christ. A praying, fasting body of Christ. I mean, folks who are willing to give up whatever is in our way to having a right relationship with God. Whatever that is. Whatever it is. Now, if we would just desire God that way, what God would do. And I praise God that the majority of us here have that desire. I know you. The Church of America, as a majority, does not have that desire. The church in America, we're fat and we're comfortable. Most of us say that we believe in God, but we really don't want God to know what we do on our off hours. Amen? See, that's stinking thinking. God already knows what you do on your off hours. Might as well confess it and get over it. Let Him heal you. Okay. Verse 4, to whom, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed by men, but chosen by God, and precious, ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Do you hear Peter's heart here? Jesus, he was the stone that was disallowed. He was the chief cornerstone. He was the foundation on which the church would be built. Is the foundation on which the church is to be built. It is His love, His grace, His power, His blood, His resurrection. That's what the church is built on. And the Hebrew people, the religious folk of His day, rejected Him. The religious people in America still reject Him. It's a shame. That's why Jesus only prepared a narrow way that leads to righteousness. A narrow way that leads to the straight gate. Because not many are going to find it. Broad is the path that leads to destruction. And a lot of religious people are going down that way. Amen? You know, Jesus didn't think too highly of religion or religious people. Because their religion degraded the relationship that God wanted to have with His people. Oh, folks, don't think of yourself too high. High and mighty, you Christian. No, we are Christians. We're humble. We're broken before the throne. We're not the building. We are just living stones of the building. Amen? Jesus Christ is the foundation, the gospel. And then we are like bricks. Ever see how bricks are laid? You get the flat foundation because I don't know if you've ever started laying bricks and you're off square. You know, it goes crazy in about 3 or 4 courses, right? And if you're not level on that first course, by the time you get to the second course, you have no grout joints. You know, it's just all, and it falls down. Oh, but if you start out square and level, you lay aside all of the hypocrisy and all of the guile and all of the nastiness, and you start holding on to the true gospel of Jesus Christ, then He will make you a living stone. I like that. It says in verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed by men, but chosen of God and precious. Precious. That's like that newborn babe desiring the sincere milk, the Word of God. That milk is precious. The Word is precious to your heart. Jesus is precious to God. And you are precious to Jesus. So that makes you precious to God. He wants you to know Him. He says in verse 5, that you also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house. You are a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus. You know, if you're holding guile in your heart, if you're holding, well, okay, my mind just jumped back to Galatians chapter 5 again. Amen. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The counterclockwise of that, if you walk in the flesh, you will not fulfill the desire of the Spirit. You can't do it. It's not a balance. It's right or wrong. It's black or white. You know, you are either in Christ or you are not. A friend of mine, he reminded me, we always have this talk about balance. And as much as I hate to agree with him, he's right. You know, you're either in or you're out. There's no walking a line. You are in Christ Jesus and you're sold out as a living stone. You know, when you're laying bricks and a master bricklayer has got a hold of you, you don't say, well, I don't want to be set beside that other brick. I don't want to be set over top or underneath the bricks that are around me. You know where you get? Wherever He puts you. You know? If you are a spiritual building block, wherever you're put, that's where He has you. That's where and He has you there for a reason. Who's the master builder? It ain't the brick. Amen? It's not you. It's Jesus Christ. He's the master carpenter. He's the foundation. He's the bricklayer. He is chosen by God and He's precious. And we are living stones and we are to build up this spiritual house. We are to be holy, holy, sanctified, set apart for God, for His good work, to be acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Anyhow, how do you end this? Choose today who you're going to serve. Amen. I guess that's a good way to put this. Are you going to choose to walk with Christ? Are you going to desire the Word of God more than you desire name a soap opera, as my stomach churns, I don't know, as have your way with my wife, you know, whatever it's called. Are you going to desire God's Word more than your cell phone? Are you going to desire God's Word more than your automobile? Are you going to desire God's Word more than your family? Are you going to desire God more? Is He going to be the food that will get you through the rest of your life? Are you willing to be a spiritual building block, a holy priesthood, used by God? Are you going to be moldable, shapeable, workable in the hand of God? You know, you got a choice. Nobody's going to make you do it. God has given you every opportunity to walk with Him. You got to make up your mind today whom you're going to serve. Either you're going to serve the world in the flesh, or you're going to serve God in His Holy Spirit. You're going to serve the Word of God and become a living stone, desiring the very milk of the Word of God, or you're going to desire not to do it. If you're in the flesh, you're going to desire not to do it. That's just the way it is. I wish I could. There's no magic wand here that I could sprinkle some fairy dust over you and make you want this. You've got to make up your mind today whom you're going to serve. I'm praying that you choose Christ. I'm praying that you choose to ask Him to build a desire in you more than you desire anything else. You want to see an answered prayer? Pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. Say, God, I want You more than anything else. Make in me a desire for Your Word. And I guarantee you, without a doubt, He'll make in you a burning desire for His Word. Anyhow, I love you folks. And If you haven't read 1 and 2 Peter lately, blow the dust off your Bible, okay? Pull it out from underneath your bed, wherever you're hiding it, all right? Open it up and read it. If you're reading somewhere else, praise God for that, but read 1 and 2 Peter. Read it. Just eat it up. Read it. Pray and ask God to show you what He has in store for you in those two short books. I've been preaching on the first chapter for 4 weeks. 4 weeks. Maybe more. I don't know. I can remember 4 weeks. And I thought that I was going to get to verse 10 tonight. Do you see? And there's so much more in these first 3 and 4 verses that I want to share with you, but we ain't got the time. So you need to pray. You need to open your Bible. You need to ask God to reveal to you the things you need to know from this. And so I'm going to pray for you as you pray for one another. And we're going to see what God does. I'm excited. Dear Father, thank You so much for Your love, for Your grace, for Your goodness. Father, oh my Lord, my Savior, I praise You for Your goodness. I praise You for Your righteousness. Father, I desire You. Oh Lord, my God, help Your people to desire You. To desire Your Word as a newborn babe desires the milk from its mother. Father, that You would create a need, a gnawing in our spirit when we haven't been fed through the Word of God. Father, create a hunger and a thirst for Your righteousness. Father, make us want You. Amen. Create in us, Holy Spirit, move on us. Create us a people of prayer. Create us a people of faith. Create us a people holy and separated, sanctified, lifted up as a stone in the spiritual house of God, that You might be glorified in this building. Father, we love You. Oh, make us show forth Your love. And we thank You for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if God will make you do that.